This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
We give you all the viral stories that are just about to drop. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop. If you keep scrolling, scrolling, scrolling and you're never gonna stop, then please, oh please, oh please, oh please don't let this flop. From stupid songs and dances, all the cultural advances, we will cover them from bottom to the top. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please, I promise you'll appease our please, oh please, you please don't let this flop.
Hi, I'm EJ Dixon.
And I'm Brittany Spanos. Welcome to Don't Let This Flop,
a podcast about TikTok and internet culture, brought to you by Rolling Stone. So this week we got a DM from a listener. Should I say a fan?
Yeah, let's say a fan.
Okay.
It was a very sweet DM. I was very excited to get it. She was asking for us to talk about West Elm Caleb, or she was hoping that we would talk about West Elm Caleb. And, you know, she was right. We were already talking about West Elm Caleb.
All we were talking about was West Elm Caleb. Like, what kind of podcast do you think this is that we would not talk about West Elm Caleb?
I mean, it's kind of like the peak content for our podcast, which is a very tall fuckboy who's being just dragged across every TikTok possible, across more than 15 million TikTok videos.
Is that true? 15 million?
Yeah, that's a number I saw. There was an embedded article that I read last night that cited that there was about 15 million or something.
Oh my God, that poor man.
Yeah.
Jesus. So basically, here's a long and short of what happened in case you haven't been paying attention. A couple days ago, this woman at Memes made a video calling out this tall guy named Caleb that she went on a date with in New York City. And it was basically just calling out this guy who had ghosted her, like without, but not by name, but like very short, simple video, other than his first name, Caleb. It went viral, and here's what happened next.
But I kept having girls comment being like, is this the West Elm Caleb? And I'm like, who is this West Elm Caleb? And why do you guys keep asking that? Like, how do you guys all know this guy? I was so confused. But then I get a DM from a Caleb who says he's also very tall, and I click on his bio, and it says West Elm Furniture Designer. And I was like, oh my God, is this him?
So all of these women dated this guy, Caleb, who works at West Elm, and had just seen this woman's video and the comments and were like, wait, are you talking about West Elm Caleb? Like, I mean, I haven't counted how many women, but like...
There was a lot.
Dozens. And dozens.
The funny thing is that she wasn't even talking about West Elm Caleb. And yet, because there were so many people who were just like, is this guy? She made a follow-up video that started all of this and, you know, ended up becoming what is a big saga in over the course of a week of this guy basically being canceled by all the women in New York dating.
So here's what we know about West Elm Caleb. And we're going to couch this all with allegedly for legal reasons. Yeah. Even though we're not accusing him of anything illegal per se, but he's allegedly a furniture designer at West Elm. He's 6'5". He allegedly has a mustache, and he used a lot of dating apps.
Mostly Hinge and Bumble were the big two.
Mostly Hinge and Bumble. And the narratives are all kind of the same story. He matches with women on a dating app. He allegedly love bombs them, meaning he lavishes them with compliments and makes them feel all special. And then he allegedly ghosts them. Or in some cases, he allegedly ghosts them after sleeping with them. There is one accusation from one woman who said that he sent her unsolicited dick pics, and then when she asked him about it, he, you know, allegedly said something about how he did it because he was insecure about being used for his dick. But that's only one allegation that I've seen. The rest is basically just love bombing and ghosting.
Yeah. So it's just such a mess. And also people were putting together a lot of the timeline and what he was sending. So people were saying that they had gotten the same playlist. Basically, they had gone through a Spotify after he had sent them a playlist of his like sad boy music, sad art boy music, as he was calling it in the text and had been quoted on, that, you know, he had just sort of renamed the same playlist repeatedly on Spotify. And you can click in and see everyone's playlist when you go to someone's profile and was basically sending a new playlist, a quote-unquote nude playlist, every girl, was sending the same photos. People were like, oh, yeah, I've seen that same photo of this, like, soy chorizo that he says is his, like, special dish that he makes. they were going on the same dates. And, you know, it was progressing kind of similarly, which I, you know, on some level, if you're dating that much and you're doing the numbers game of dating where you're going on that many dates, it's honestly probably good to have your own sort of formula of, like, just doing the same thing. However, he did so many that everyone caught him in the act and were able to sort of connect that not only was he doing all the same things, slightly changing it, but at the same time, after he had allegedly told some of these girls that he had deleted his dating apps, that he wasn't seeing anyone else, there was, like, a few girls that he was seeing for about, like, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, and then it turned out that he had not deleted his dating apps and was apparently going on these other dates at the same time.
Right. So, Brittany, what was your opinion when you first heard about West Elm Caleb? Because when I was single, I was not, this was, you know, way prior to the emergence of dating apps. But my understanding is, like, at the very least, he's guilty, allegedly, of juggling a lot of women at the same time and not being honest with them. And at the very worst, he's allegedly a fucking creep. But it also doesn't seem like that unusual behavior for men in New York City on dating apps.
West Elm Caleb, you know, he has existed in various forms over the years. There are so many West Elm Calebs. If you've dated in New York for any period of time, you have likely been ghosted by the same guy a friend of yours has been ghosted by. You have likely encountered a million guys just like this. Like, West Elm Caleb is no longer just like a, I mean, this is a big point of it. He's no longer just a person. He's a symbol of something greater in the New York dating scene, which is kind of this, like, intimacy that you want to get from dating and then kind of ends in the sort of coldness of ghosting, which is a shitty thing, a shitty way to end things, but a very common part of dating app culture and a very common part of dating in New York City with texting and sort of the idea that you're meeting strangers through the apps and the fact that it's very easy for them to also subsequently disappear from your life entirely.
It just seems to me like it's very prototypical 25-year-old male behavior. Like, you've just moved to New York City. You're super tall. And so you know that, like, you're in some sort of, like, vaunted sexual position, you know, for better or for worse. And you kind of just, like, treat, you're new to New York and you just, like, treat New York as, like, your own sexual buffet. And it starts to kind of get, like, ahead of you, you know? Yeah. Like, I could understand why, like, in his quest to gamify these apps, like, he could have just kind of lost the thread and ignored the humanity of all of these women.
I mean, I do also think that we're giving him too much credit by saying that it's gamifying it. Like, I genuinely don't think that that is, you know, I think there are a lot of, and we're, you know, if we're talking specifically about, like, cis straight men on the apps, like, I'm sure there are a lot of them, and I'm very certain a lot of them do gamify it and do think of it as that. You know, based off just, like, the text and sort of the kind of everything, you know, basically the evidence that we have been presented by the women on TikTok, which is not strong evidence, but it is just what the only thing we have because Caleb hasn't spoken. But, like, it's just, he just seems like an idiot. Like, he just, you know, it's just like it's dumb boy stuff. It's just like you're 25. Like you said, you're 25, you're tall, like you're dating, you want to date a lot, and you're just like going on these dates. The easiest thing to do is just go to the same places. You know, I have so many friends who, you know, are less like that and just tend to take their dates to the same bars or the same locations because it's just easy. They know that place. They know it's a safe place. They know they can just do that. The playlist thing, that's a little bit, I mean, it's kind of funny, but I kind of get it as a move that has worked effectively enough where you're like, I'm going to continue doing this because
that would work on me, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know if it would work on me. I don't like male music taste. So I don't know if it would work on me. But, like, I just, like, you know, it's stuff like that. Like, I can see why it's, you know, those things are effective. You're kind of stuck in these same cycles anyway on dating apps where you're sending the same questions, the same small talk, and the same sort of, like, you know, these things have worked. Let me try this out. So I kind of get it from that perspective. But I also think it's, like, again, dumb guy behavior. You're 25. Like, you're not going to be particularly adept at this. You're not going to, like, you're not a super spy. You're not, like, a secret agent who can, like, easily maneuver through this. Like, you're dating in the greater New York area. people are going to put it together. Girls talk. Like, you know, people will figure out that, oh, yes, we have dated the same person, even without TikTok.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's basically what happened is that, you know, there was a very John Tucker must die dynamic going on here where the girlies found out, they banded together, they called him out correctly. But at this point, it starts to get a little crazy because he goes viral outside of this, you know, outside of New York City. And West Elm's Instagram starts getting inundated with comments. People are doxing Caleb. People are calling for him to be fired in the comments of these videos. It's very similar to what happened with Couch Guy, the guy who appeared in the viral video we talked about a few weeks ago, where people started accusing him of cheating on his girlfriend based on the evidence of like an awkward viral video. But it's arguably worse for Caleb because the allegations against him are more serious. And it just got really dark, really quick.
And I think, you know, something that I had written about when I wrote about West Elm Caleb is like the dating app privacy is a very messy part of, you know, especially TikTok culture now, but of all social media culture, where there is no inherent promise or, you know, agreement that you have when you sign on to a dating app that you have to respect people's privacy. A dating app profile is semi-public. You know, it's obviously meant to be seen by only the people that are on the app, and preferably the people that you match with are the people that you're sort of, you know, having the longest FaceTime with your profile. But with TikTok, there is such a trend of people sharing dating app profiles and sharing funny dating app stories. Again, we talked about the Hinge audio message trend that was happening on TikTok. And a lot of people did try to cover up names and faces where they could, but for the most part, they didn't. Like, that was just a big part of it, was that people just kind of had their information out there for everyone to see while they're, you know, making fun of them and making fun of what they're saying. That's always been a big thing on Instagram, on Twitter. Like, there's no inherent privacy to that. So Caleb got the brunt of this, which is that because there is no moral or legal obligation for anyone on a dating app to respect someone's privacy, his last name was leaked, of course, his job, because that was a topic of conversation between him and many of the girls, was the fact that he's a designer at West Elm, created the nickname West Elm Caleb. So it's very easy to find him. It's very easy to know where he works and to kind of go ahead and be like, you know, fire this guy for being a fuckboy, as many people did in the comments of West Elm's social media platforms. There's nothing that people know where he went to college. People know like way too much information about this kid who's, again, whose biggest crime is being just a bad communicator and terrible dater. Like, I saw a lot of videos where people were sharing all this information and they are just like, I matched with him too. Like, here's his profile, so you know.
Yeah.
And they hadn't even talked to him. They hadn't even had any experience with him. And they were sharing all of his information. And the girls who had, like, maybe, you know, they didn't do it for a good reason, but, like, probably had the biggest reason to do it, did not do it, which is important separation with that, which is that they did not call him out beyond his behavior.
Yeah, and even in the comments, I saw a couple of them were like, don't dox him, like, you know, don't harass him. Mm-hmm. But it just very quickly devolved into clout chasing and trying to get, you know, more followers and more views based on jumping on this trend. And this is basically what happens with TikTok. Like, we talked about it so many times. Like, the algorithm boosts these videos for people in the area of the creators, which is in this case, New York City. They go viral outside of New York City because people send them to their friends and their friends send them to friends. And as we've talked about, like, if you already engage with the content on TikTok, then the algorithm is just going to give you more and more and more West Elm Caleb content. Like, this the first West Elm Caleb video I saw, I got served like 10 videos after that because I watched it till the end because it was interesting to me. Like, you know, part of that is because it is sort of my fault that, like, I was, you know, captivated by this drama. But and I mean, that's the problem with the algorithm. It just gives you more of what you want. And that's not necessarily like for the social good or for this person's, you know, the benefit of this person's welfare. I do think that TikTok bears a lot of responsibility here in that this has happened so many times. Like, this happened with Couch Guy. It happened with Sabrina Prater. On a more serious note, the trans woman who everybody started accusing of being a serial killer based on the fact that, like, her videos took place in like a dilapidated house. And these videos just go so viral so quickly, and everybody's just trying to jump on the clout and jump on the trend. And my friend said something really interesting about this particular case, which was Caleb and the TikTok girlies' behavior seems like the extreme natural endpoints of trying to play the algorithm. Caleb playing the numbers game to an extreme degree, the girls he dated hyping it up for clout. It's the worst of social app tech. And I think that's really true.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just all, it's all bad. Like, it's literally all bad. Like, there's no good solution, and there's no sort of, like, really good outcome to this type of thing. I think, again, like, we're seeing just the, a lot of diluting of, you know, what it means to actually sort of, like, cancel and kind of call out bad behavior. Like, ghosting is bad behavior. Yes, it's bad etiquette more
than anything.
Sending
dick pics is, I mean, to be clear, sending dick pics is bad behavior. But that was only one allegation.
Yeah, and it's just like why are we getting this guy fired from his job? Like, why are we involved? Like, why are we doing all this? Like, what is the end goal of all of this? By the time my article came out, like, I feel like people are pretty exhausted by it and kind of all sort of agreed. Like, I feel like I started to see a lot more tweets about people being like, what is going on? Like, this is so stupid. So I feel like it was starting to already turn around in that way where people were just like, this is kind of insane, the response. But the message that I did get was from a young woman named Leah Selden, who had matched with Caleb and had posted a video about her experience with him and has since deleted it. And she is going to talk with us a little bit about her experience and her place in the West Elm Caleb saga with us and give us a little bit more details from inside the storm.
Okay. Hi, I'm Leah. I'm a grad student at Wesleyan University. TikTok at Jewish Brat. That's why I'm here.
So I want us to focus especially on what's happened in the days since you had joined the West Elm Caleb discourse, of course. But for everyone, can you tell us just a brief synopsis of your experience with West Elm Caleb?
Yeah. So, was on the dating apps, I think in December, matched with this guy, and we start texting, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I have a screenshot of his profile because I know people are like, this is the most mediocre white boy of all time, but I was wooed. I was like, he's 6'4", he's a West Elm designer. Like, I was sold. I was selling the chairs he was buying. I was buying the chairs he was selling. That's the way to say it. We talked very briefly. I think I said something like, oh, what's your goal? Like, what's your dream? Like, just trying to make conversation. And I think he said something like, to make the best chair possible. And I was like, that's it. All right. But whatever. Conversation peters out. He doesn't answer me. Fine. I delete my dating apps. I'm seeing someone for a little bit. And then I go back on and, oh, what do you know? There he is again. So we match, and I'm like, oh, well, second time's the charm. Like, I'm, you know, let's try this again. And I was like, well, he flirts back. And I'm like, oh, well, you already have my phone number. And he's like, I don't think I do. And I was like, ooh, so that means he doesn't remember me. Okay, that's, you know, I'm just not going to pursue that any further. So that was kind of it on my experience with him. Wasn't negative, wasn't positive, didn't feel good when he didn't remember who I was. But, like, that's, I probably wouldn't remember a lot of the guys that I originally texted. So,
and earlier in the episode, we talked a little bit about how quickly everything escalated. You know, there was like one day where I shared it with my friends, and then by that evening, it was a completely different story where my friends had no idea what it was happening. And then by the end of the day, it was all anyone could talk about. From your perspective, as someone who was just sort of in the middle of how quickly things were going viral and how quickly things were spreading, like, can you talk us through, like, how fast it was that your video started to gain traction, that you started to see the actual discourse really, really blow up?
Yeah, it happened. I mean, this was literally an overnight situation. Originally, the discourse in the video was like, it was like funny to me at first. It was like, oh, like, this is the guy that you guys are all like simping over. Oh, I didn't realize that I had put his school in my video, the school he attended, and I guess I was one of the only people who did that. The rest of the information was public. So I got a lot of comments about, like, oh, of course he's a red flag. Like, he went to this school in Savannah, Georgia, or whatever. So originally the video comments were, like, they were, like, funny. Like, they were not that harmful. And then quickly, as it got bigger and bigger, like, into the hundreds and thousands, and, like, this literally happened, like, in a day. I was just kind of sitting by and watching it go up and go up. Then the comments got meaner and more aggressive towards him. Like, how dare he, you know, ghost all of New York City? You deserve so much better than this. He's the worst. Just, like, really not nice things towards him. And I had to make, like I said, I made a clarifying video being like, I did not meet him. Like, the way things got generalized really, really quickly, where, like, the girls who were making summary videos were like, this man has ghosted hundreds of girls. This man is love bombing everyone. I'm like, well, if you actually look at it, there's probably around 10 to 15 girls who have reported interactions with him. Maybe 3 or 4 of them have, like, demonstrated love bombing or ghosting, if you can say that. So I think that's when it got a little bit out of hand and we started to generalize him and villainize him. But on my end, it happened so quickly. And I just felt, I was like, okay, I need to say something. This is not going in the direction I want it to go. Like, we can make a joke about the fact that he didn't remember who I was. Like, that's like, that was funny. Like, that was a main comment on my thing. But then it just, it wasn't funny anymore. And that's when I knew I had to do something.
Yeah, you deleted your first 2 videos. I mean, what was the reasoning behind that? And did you struggle with that decision, considering, like, that this was blowing you up too?
Yeah, I definitely did struggle with that decision. I saw a video by this New York Times reporter named Lauren, and she was doing this commentary about, like, this is mob mentality. This has gone way too far. And people were, at that point, like, starting to ruin his life. Like, once I saw that people were contacting West Elm, once I saw people were, like, hunting for his LinkedIn and trying to find all of his socials and contact him, I was like, okay, this is, like, that's not okay, in my opinion. Like, that's not, like, oh, he's a local celebrity, like, that we can just call West Elm Caleb. It's like, why do we need to fully dox this man? So I saw this woman Taylor's video where she was saying that this is not justice, like, she defended, like, and I support the girls who originally came forward and were sharing their negative experiences. That's great. And, like, we do have an obligation as women to protect each other. And, like, thank God that these girls found out that, like, one girl was with him waking up in his bed Saturday morning and he was going on a date with a different one that afternoon. You know, I'm glad that we found that out. I'm glad that those girls know. But the way that the conversation turned was, you know, all this fake justice and accountability, but, like, to dox him and ruin this man's life, I just don't think that's justice. So this woman, amazing writer, posted these videos and I was listening, and ironically all the comments on her video were really, really negative. They were like, you're just a pick me, like, men have it so easy. Why, like, you know, we're just trying to hold men accountable for their actions. They should be scared to do behaviors like this because then they will get called out. She kept posting more about it. And the more I was listening to her, I was like, had moments of reflection where I was like, it doesn't matter how big I'm blowing up because morally, this isn't the right thing to do.
How has this experience changed the way that you maybe think about, like, you know, posting dating content on your own social pages or engage with content where, you know, people are maybe sharing sensitive information about someone in trying to share a funny or horrifying dating story on TikTok or otherwise?
I think that it has taught me a lot that I need to be careful. I think that I think reflecting on the moment where I posted it, like, I wasn't thinking. And I think that's the problem. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't thinking about what information I was sharing, how I was contributing to this narrative, especially for something that, even though it was small, it was already pre-established and focused on one individual. I think that when we talk about dating, and I do respect that the girls who were originally talking about this did not share his information. Like, I think the first girl who was on dates with him, Kate, like, referred to him, like, as a Midwestern boy and, like, a tall Midwestern boy, and just the internet found it out. Yes, she had a place by confirming it, but I think that moving forward, I am going to be very, very cautious about the information that I share about other people. It's not me. I don't think I would want someone to do the same to me. And I think about that a lot. I was like, this could have been me. I didn't do the same behaviors. I didn't send unsolicited photos, but this could have been me getting in this trouble. And I think about, you know, Couch Guy and all these other people who have gone viral on the internet from nothing.
What do the other women involved think? Like, how do they feel the same way as you? Or, like, how have their opinions changed? The women who have had direct contact with Caleb that you've spoken to.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Kate, who was the main girl from the beginning, did post a video acknowledging also the videos that the journalist Taylor, and she had a very nuanced, interesting, like, same kind of feelings that I did of saying we took this too far, that he has become a metaphor. He didn't sign up to be that. He's, again, he's just one person who's demonstrating very common toxic behavior of men. Mm-hmm. He just happened to be very unlucky in this regard. So she's kind of on closer to my side, but it is important she didn't delete the videos. She's kept them up, and she's profiting off of them. Like, she's getting free things. She got offered to do, many of these girls got offered to do dating reality shows. There's another girl, I think the one who did receive unsolicited photos is more on the camp of, like, fuck him. This is what he deserves. This is accountability. And they don't feel bad about that. I think that's, like, part of it. It's like, should you feel bad? That sending unsolicited photos is, you know, is one thing that can be illegal in many states, and that's not a good thing to do. So I do understand that perspective of her having directly been affected by him and saying no. Like, I want to hold him accountable in the public realm. I want to make sure this behavior doesn't continue, not just for him, but on a bigger scale. But I think that a lot of girls, at least the more viral ones, are relishing in this and using it as an opportunity.
And when you first reached out to me, it was, you know, you have been doing some soul searching and kind of grappling with, like, what, you know, how you feel about it, and you've mentioned a few times, like, how are you feeling about it today as we talk? And, you know, you're a few days, you know, a couple days removed from the experience and have sort of been dissecting and, you know, consuming a lot of content on the entire saga. But how are you personally kind of feeling now that you've been on the other side and through the trenches of the West Elm Caleb soap opera?
Yeah, it feels still very unreal that it got to this level. Especially just, it feels really gross to me how brands and creators are monopolizing on this situation. I maintain that, like, I think that what I posted originally was fine. I think that it was fine as a local thing. Once it got big and the public started demonizing him, that's when it became a problem. I think that I could have handled it in a different way. I could have not shared as much information. I could have not participated at all, but I did, and I stand by that decision. I still feel very mixed feelings on it. I haven't heard from him, obviously. He probably doesn't. Based on his messages to me, he does not have my number saved. I don't think he knows who I am, truly. I'm not expecting a comment from him, but I do feel bad. I do feel bad that I might have participated in the harassment of this man.
And finally, I mean, with having now learned more about him than you probably would have otherwise, like, it probably just would have been sort of like a weird dating story in your past and you would have never thought of him again. I mean, do you even have any judgment on Caleb now that you've learned? Like, what is your sort of, do you have a final verdict now that you've kind of spoken with other women and people about him that have had experiences with him?
I think it shows how far you can get for being a tall white man who's moderately attractive with a mustache. He matched, like, the amount of women that was like, I matched with him. I swipe right. Like, I just think that it goes to show how pretty privilege is absolutely real. And he benefited from that. He did, like, to some degree, as a pretty person, as a pretty white boy, he did have a degree of power and he was able to use it. He had women falling at his hand. If he wanted to see a girl in the afternoon and the night before, I think it's really interesting to see his, like, tactics. He was sending the same playlists to, like, the same songs on a playlist to the same girls. I mean, everyone's got moves. Like, is that like a crazy thing to say? Everyone's got dating moves. But I think the degree to which he was doing this, such as taking girls on the same dates, even in their later conversations, saying the same things, once he had a pre-established relationship. That's not, I don't really love that. I don't like that. But I'm not sure what his end goal was. I saw someone else say, who was involved with him more intimately, say that he didn't have friends. And that he was using this, you know, he talked a lot about how he wanted a girlfriend so that he can become friends with her friends. So I don't know. I think that he definitely needs to, I think he's got a lot going on. I don't think he should be on dating apps at the moment. That's my verdict. But I think it shows how powerful you can be as a man in these situations.
Yeah. So pop punk, a topic we have talked about before on the mm-hmm. podcast, is for real back. Like, it is actually happening. And we have the possible shit show of a festival to prove it. So last week, a bunch of bands started posting this flyer, very like messy peak MySpace type of flyer where it was like a million logos on it for a festival called When We Were Young. And it read like a scene kid, Fever Dream, My Chemical Romance, and Paramore are co-headlining. And the rest of the lineup features all of your early 2000s favorites, like The Used, Bring Me the Horizon, Avril Lavigne, The Main, Taking Back Sunday, Jimmy Eat World, Bright Eyes, so many, just like all over. And of course, the initial excitement was a big nostalgia wave. This is like millennial bait content. This is Warped Tour on steroids.
Everyone was talking about it.
It's a dream assembly of the best pop punk and emo had to offer for angsty millennials. Like, again, like, this is like the peak sort of nostalgia music. And along with that, there was also a lot of like the Gen Z favorites like Lil Huddy and Jaden, like all these, you know, like the Linda Lindas and Meet Me at the Altar were all on the lineup as well. Like, it's a really massive deal of a festival.
Too many. Just,
it sounded really cool. And especially My Chemical Romance and Paramore, My Chem, you know, were very famously broken up for many years. They reunited in 2019. Their tour has been pushed back a bunch and it sold out very quickly. So this was another exciting opportunity to see them. Paramore just announced their reunion. Paramore is really, really big on TikTok as well. Like, people love Paramore. So, you know, it's a big festival. It's like a lot of big gets. But the more people looked at it, they realized that it may be a nightmare instead of a dream. Like, it's kind of a shit show to think about logistically. Mm-hmm. So the deeply stacked lineup features over 60 bands. And the festival is only slated to occur for one single day. That's the only date. Las Vegas from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. on three stages. It sounds like a logistical nightmare. And the user, the Batmare, pointed out that the math was just not mathin'. Like, it is exactly one day you're paying $300 to maybe see a third of these bands for 20 minutes each. Like, at that, like, if they can do 20 minutes, they likely can't because they have to take down and set up because they're full bands who have equipment and their own equipment they want to use. Like, I don't think they're going to use the same drum set the entire day. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to use the same guitars all day. Like, you know, there's a lot of technical stuff that goes into breaking down and setting up a set that just seems like a nightmare. So it seems like an insane undertaking made worse by the fact that inevitably means everyone will have to choose between My Chemical Romance and Paramore. If hate crimes against emo kids could exist, this would surely qualify.
Who would you choose?
I would rather kill myself. Like, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. There's literally no good option there. Like, I would honestly rather just, like, chop off a limb.
Is it like Angela Lansbury and Julie Andrews, like, giving a concert at yes. the same time? Like,
yes.
For the theater kids? Okay, that's the only... Okay, I understand now.
Yes. So it's just kind of... It's not like these are two different genres of artists playing at the same time. Like, most festivals, if you go to, like, Lollapalooza or Coachella, what they try to do is they try to have on each stage at the... You know, they'll typically have multiple artists playing at the headline slot and multiple artists playing at the same time all day. That's just how it works. But they are often kind of staggered in a way, where it's like, you know, one stage has like a EDM DJ, one stage has like a major yeah. rock band, one stage has a rapper. Like, these are just like the same kids grew up on both these artists. And so that's why, and it's also a big deal they're both reuniting.
It seems like such a major... Like, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is your coverage area, and it's not, like, I don't know the intricacies of, like, how to plan a festival, but it seems mm-hmm. to me like such a basic principle of promoting a festival
yeah.
is that you don't book so many acts, like, at the same time, and you don't book, like, this many, like, right? Isn't that just, like,
yes.
a very basic fundamental?
It's also kind of insane to call a festival like a one day event, a festival. Uh-huh. So it was all over TikTok, of course, like everyone sort of, there was the first wave of content, as with, you know, on Twitter as well, was excitement. People were really, really stoked about this. But then it very quickly became emo firefest. Like people were talking about how there is no way this seems legit. And, you know, there was concerns about the fact that it's Live Nation behind it. And Live Nation was behind Astroworld, and having on top of that major, major tragedy to come back with a festival that seems like a full-on logistical nightmare, just in terms of like getting people from stage to stage, getting all these bands on to perform, just seems like a little bit of a mess. And people have a right to be a little distrusting of.
But to be, but Live Nation produces most of the, like, isn't that the biggest promoter in the world? Like, it's not necessarily significant in itself that Live Nation is behind this.
Yes, but also because it's another festival, and I think it's the first festival that Live Nation's been on since Astroworld. It's, I think that's why people are a little bit concerned, because it's not like a festival that looks, I don't know, like it would go off without a hitch. Like there were concerns before people knew that
Live Nation
was attached to it. So that obviously added a level of mistrust that people were now having. And, you know, it's just, it just seemed too good to be true. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of content calling it emo Firefest and just being a little bit worried. I don't think this is quite Firefest level. The festival existed before. This is the second time that's happened. However, the last time it happened was a much smaller lineup over 2 days. You know, that just made more sense. The bands, there was the All American Rejects were the first band to sort of be like, I guess we're playing with everyone at the same time. Like, you know, it's just kind of like, they sort of pointed out that it also seemed a little bit messy. So I'm not sure how much the actual bands knew about the lineup or how stacked it was for exactly one day. I hope that the promoters are able to look at the criticism and expand the festival if at all possible. It would make more sense for this to happen over 2 to 3 days, given the number of artists and the amount of time that people would want to spend for the amount of money that they're spending to see a festival over for $300, spend a day at a festival for $300 is kind of insane. If not, it's a total waste of money. And, you know, it's just a waste of time as well. So if that's the case, I will just wait until Warped Tour is inevitably rebooted.
Yeah, it seems like a logistical nightmare. And like when I love solving logistical nightmares.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to do. So if they have any questions about like how to, I mean, despite the fact that I have absolutely no experience in festival planning or event planning whatsoever, like, you know, if they want to figure it out, they can ask me. But I had a very short emo phase. Like I was the kind of, I had like, I loved Avril Lavigne for like 3 months. And then I was the kid who was like, oh, she's a poser. You know,
I was a big scene kid.
Yeah,
I loved it
so this seems like very up your alley.
Yeah, no, these are all my favorite bands. I would love to see them, but I don't know if that day of just messiness, 12 hours straight of messiness, is worth my mental health.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or physical health. That seems exhausting. It sounds like the festival grounds itself is really big too. Like it just seems like, especially if you're spending, again, $300 at least to go to this festival, you're going to not get your money's worth.
It's too much standing. It sounds like way too much standing.
And most festivals are sort of like they start at 11 a.m., right? And then they go until 11 p.m. But because of the way that things are staggered and the way that, you know, the acts come out, like you can really be there for as little or long as you need to be. But this seems like you're going to have to be there for a full 12 hours to actually maximize what you're spending and see all the bands you want to see, because it won't be properly sort of separated. But
I feel like everybody made fun of that scene in And Just Like That where Charlotte talks about Che's comedy concert and is like, why are there no seats? And like, but that's how I would feel, I think, at Emo Firefest. Like I would be like Charlotte in And Just Like That. Like, where are the seats at this emo concert? At this emo recital?
So we actually have an update on this festival that happened after we recorded the episode, and they announced a second day of When We Were Young Festival. So it'll be happening October 22nd and October 23rd. They're spreading it out across 2 days. We still don't know all the details on what that means, but it seems like they also added an extra hour to each day. So it'll be going from 11 a.m. to midnight. So hopefully the festival is not a total shit show and not Emo Firefest. We will be keeping an eye out for any updates on it.
So we're going to start our himbo of the week this week. We promised you an update on Gummy Snake Guy. Unfortunately, it's not a very good one, Brittany. I'm sorry. It's not a very good update per my research. But as we mentioned in an earlier episode, Gummy Snake Guy went viral for essentially deep-throating a gummy snake.
Day 5, sucking on the world's largest snake gummy. There's that. 38?
He has a name. I just don't want to refer to him by it. I don't think
he deserves
it.
He's
Gummy Snake Guy. I don't think he deserves to have a name. I don't think most men deserve to have a name, but this man in particular definitely does not.
Yeah.
So here's my update. He stopped in mid-December at day 7. He didn't get that far.
That's it?
Yeah.
Isn't that when we talked about him?
Yeah, pretty much. Like a couple weeks after we talked about him, yeah.
Oh my God.
He didn't get that far.
Why even try?
It's, well, the thing is, and here's what I didn't think about, and we didn't think about it either when we were thinking about the logistics of it, is the snake gets so big around the middle that he physically couldn't get his mouth around.
I'm going to keep it a buck with everyone. The deeper I go, the thicker it gets. It's hard for me to suck on this thing.
What happened to the snake? Did he throw it out? Seems like another waste of money.
I don't know. I DM'd him. Maybe we can have another update.
Yeah. I'm just
next week.
The thing with TikTok is people waste so much money on things that are just not worth it.
it's true. I could see him thinking that this was going to go like wildly viral. And then he saw how the first video performed and he was like, yeah, I did it. And then he was just like, it's not, you know, the juice is not worth a squeeze.
I want to know how much it is. I'm looking up. I want you to guess how much
the snake was.
Yes.
Wait, did you find an actual, they sell these like on Amazon?
On Candy Warehouse.
How do you know? How do you know that's the snake?
It looks like it's like the largest possible snake that they have.
Okay, I'm going to guess. How long is it? Tell me how long it is. Do you have access to the measurements?
It is 8 feet.
What a stupid fucking thing to buy. Like having an 8-foot gummy snake in your house. Oh my God, my husband would kill himself if I got an 8-foot gummy snake and tried to store it.
Guess how
house.
Much it weighs.
I'm going to guess that it weighs a little less than a small child. So I'm going to guess 25 pounds.
26. You're close.
Oh my God. Okay.
I don't know how much a small child weighs. So I'm glad that you are a parent.
I'm going to guess that the snake was... $125.
$150.
That would end. I really hope that guy is not in a relationship because that would actually end my marriage. End my marriage.
So many questions.
My
this
husband. Looks, we,
this is the snake.
Yes.
It is. Day Does one, sucking the world's largest snake. I mean, this is literally the snake.
So we spent $150
and
on this.
It's out of stock.
Because he probably bought the only one they had. Because how many? You can't mass produce 8-foot gummy snakes.
Out of stock. Let me look how much it's. Yeah. It's supposed to be a party snake. Okay.
What's
the
a
comments,
party snake? What's a party snake?
The comments
snake?
Are what? So where you share it. It's supposed to be like multiple servings. Like people like are supposed to cut up the snake and share it. Or I guess suck it together. Sounds
yeah, suck
kinky.
It together. Like everybody's supposed to suck on different parts of the gummy snake.
Yeah. There's okay. The comments. It has 4.5 stars. Logan M gave it 4 stars. He said, a little too big. Which is like, what did you expect from an 8-foot snake that you bought online that weighs 26 pounds?
The snake- for the cost of a freelance. Article wait, okay. For like Bustle, like my this freelance from, rate for Bustle.
This is from November 12th. The snake was a bit overwhelming. I got lockjaw munching on that hearty worm. My mouth can barely extend itself open wide enough to fit the traumatizing girth of the snake's body. I couldn't even get the whole tip in my mouth, but still very tasty. A little horny, Logan.
Why did he not read? Why did Gummy Snake Guy not read that comment and take that into account?
Holly Davis gave it 5 stars and he said, The title is, I think y'all are awesome sauce. And then she said, I love, love, love that y'all make giant gummies. Y'all are so amazing. Can't wait to eat them. Thank you.
What? For what? Why? Why can't she wait to eat it? What's she using it for?
I'm not gonna listen. You told me not to kink shame. I'm not gonna kink shame. Whatever people need to get through the day, I support it. It's supposed to be 450 servings. It's supposed to serve 450 servings.
We should expense it, honestly.
I absolutely have no desire to. I would rather expense anything else. We should save that request for something that is not disgusting.
You don't think Rolling Stone would expense our journey to suck on the world's largest gummy snake?
We should expense a piece of furniture that West Elm Caleb has designed.
Good, that's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Actually, it's probably the same price as this 26-pound gummy snake.
Okay, now it's time for our actual himbo of the week. So everyone is familiar with the concept of the thirst trap on TikTok, where a hot guy stands in front of a mirror and like dances or bites his lip seductively. Or there's the famous one with the guy role-playing that he's being arrested and then saying goodbye to the woman he loves, which makes me laugh so hard. All classic himbo behavior without which this segment would not exist. But it's obviously extremely cringe and ripe for parody. So that's exactly what our himbo of the week at Mr. Big Chops 69, great username, did. He has this ongoing series duetting thirst traps as an ugly guy to show how cringy they are, where he duets various hot guys with his shirt off reenacting the thirst traps to demonstrate how stupid these videos are. Like, we'll put some examples in the show notes. And it's really great. I mean, in part, it's a very easy conceit. Like, it's not hard to make fun of these guys. But yeah. I had no idea, like, the extent to which these videos are stupid. Like, I don't get these videos on my For You page. Like, how do you find them?
I don't usually. I follow, like, do you follow, I think it's, like, Fave TikToks 420 or something. And it's, like, all these, like, really cringy, like, videos that people post, especially guys thinking they're really hot.
No, but it sounds like I should follow it.
Yeah. It's, like, very, very cringy. So that's where I see it mostly is curated on this TikTok page.
Yeah, he's an expert curator. Like, he should get a job as like a docent at the Met or something. Like, there's one where the camera like pans from some guy's crotch and sweatpants, and then he makes a fingering motion, and then he just scratches his face. Like, they don't even put in any effort into these videos. It's like the himbo version of the Hillary Duff soft choreo that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Like, yes, give us nothing. It's just no effort. But anyway, this guy's point is well taken, but I don't think he's ugly. He's got, daddy bear vibes.
He is the one who has titled it duetting thirst traps as an ugly guy. I don't think he's ugly.
He's not ugly. He's cute.
Yeah, and all the comments, that's what I love about this, is, like, all the comments are just, like, so, just, like, people just, like, love him. People just adore him. People are like, this is, like, such a thirst trap itself. Because he's so fun.
Yeah, he's sexy.
He has a good sense of humor. And I adore him. Obsessed with Mr. Big Chops 69.
Don't sell yourself too short, Mr. Big Chops 69.
Yeah.
We're your biggest fans.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening to Don't Let This Flop, This Week in TikTok, brought to you by Rolling Stone and Cumulus Podcast Network. Written and hosted by me, Brittany Spanos, and EJ Dixon. Executive produced by Jason Fine, Bridget Chelsea, and Elizabeth Garber-Paul. Edited by Dan Stein. And original music composed by Daniel Martzleft.